Okay, welcome back to my videos. It's Monday, and today I'm going to talk about, somebody asked me to speak more specifically about various protection methods, protection magic, and such things. So what I thought I'd do is start at the very beginning, or the place closest to us, which is home, and talk about the house spirit or the household spirit. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. Right, so where do you go to when you want protection in your home? The home itself, probably the best place to actually go to. So we have, within witchcraft, I mean, not every witch is animistic, but a lot are. And it's this animism, the belief that everything has a spirit, which then we can start talking about things like the house spirit or the household spirit or house ghost. This is really the spirit of the home or the spirit of the house. And if we consider from an animistic point of view that everything does have a spirit, trees, rocks, plants, animals, ourselves, everything, every little thing has a spirit, then when a house is created or when a house is built, there is a spirit that inhabits or is generated, created within that structure itself. And quite often what happens is when people move into a new home or a new house is that, we see quite a few reports of people being attacked by a spirit. You know, they've just moved into a new home and all of a sudden there's a spirit activity. And quite often it's the house spirit, and it's not trying to be malicious, it's just protecting its space. And what usually happens is people get onto groups and message boards. I've seen this on witchcraft groups and everything else, where they say they moved into this house and now all of a sudden they have all this spirit activity and they're being attacked by ghosts and evil entities and everything else. And then they want to know how to get rid of it, how to banish it, because it's their home. No, not really, not particularly. When we are talking about a house spirit or a spirit of the home, a spirit of the house, it's their house, it's their residence. They belong to it, they are intimately entwined, they cannot move from it. So trying to banish this or get rid of this spirit within the home is practically impossible, and very, very rude. If you do find that you move into a new house and all of a sudden you've got all this spirit activity, then check what it is. It's probably the house spirit. And all it's doing is protecting its space, it's protecting its body. Its physical body, really. It's the house is it. The house is the spirit. So the best way to actually go about creating or stopping this evil spirit activity is to make friends with the spirit of the house. Really, that simple. But people don't consider this. They just go straight for the throat and say, the spirit, and it's got to get rid of it because we're all powerful human beings. The best thing is to actually make friends with the house spirit. Now, there are two types of household deities or spirits. The first is or can be a singular god or goddess, often female, associated with the hearth and domesticity. So a famous example of this is Hestia, the Greek goddess of the hearth, home, and family. The second type is a collection of lesser spirits, what we might call lesser spirits, or animistic beings, which I've just spoken about. But this tends to start covering a lot of different areas. So these do include the lairs of ancient Rome, protectors of the household, the gashin of Korean shamanism, spirits connected to home, and the kofgudas of Anglo-Saxon paganism, similar to the household guardians. And even after the Christianization of Europe, this belief continued. It's intertwined intimately with folklore. So these creatures like the brownies and the domovoi of the Slavic regions emerged as fairy folk, as the fairy-like counterparts. So this does tend to move from this idea of the animistic idea of the spirit of the house, or the spirit of the building, the spirit of the structure, into being fairy, related to the fae itself, and even, as we said, into the gods and goddesses, such as Hestia. And we can even look, if you do go into Hellenism, coming back to Hestia and the Greek aspects, we also have the Agathos Daimon. Now, Agathos Daimon translates directly to good spirit, much like the Eudaimon. But when we speak about the Agathos Daimon in respect of it being the household deity, this really is in relation to Zeus Ctesios. So it's one epithet or aspect of Zeus. And this is the protector of the household, the bringer of wealth, quite often referred to as the protector of the warehouse, not particularly the you know, the family home, but can obviously does relate in when we're celebrating this, when we're actually practicing Hellenism, or those that do, which usually use this aspect of the Agathos Daimon, the Zeus Ctesios, as being the household deity itself, and then also including Hestia as the hearth spirit or the hearth goddess. So unlike major deities worshipped in the grand temples and such things, the household deities did find reverence within the actual home. People would use small idols, amulets, paintings, reliefs, and such things to represent them. In some of the wealthier households, you may have found like a dedicated shrine to the actual spirit itself. And these guardians really were treated as extended family. And this included giving them meals and offerings of food and drink. Quite often when the meal was made for the day, the main meal, then a portion of that meal was prepared for the actual hearth spirit and Hestia, and for the guardian of the home, guardian of the household spirit itself. Now, we had, as I said, we've got this idea of the animistic aspect of the spirit of the house, and then we have that moving over into an aspect of being fae, like the brownies and the hobgoblin, and such fae spirits. And then we have the more household deities. But we also have an aspect, an ancestral aspect, which actually comes into play here as well. And we found, this was in William Edward Hearn in 1878. In his analysis of the Indo-European household in Chapter 2, The Household Spirit, Section 1, he states, "The belief which guided the conduct of our forefathers was the spirit rule of dead ancestors." He goes on a bit further in Section 2. Let me just see. "It is thus certain that the worship of deceased ancestors is a vera causa, and not a mere hypothesis. In the other European nations, the Slavs, the Teutons, and the Celts, the house spirit appears with no less distinctness. The existence of that worship does not admit of doubt. The house spirits had a multitude of other names which it is needless here to enumerate, but all of which are more or less expressive of their friendly reflections with man. In England, he is the brownie. In Scotland, this same brownie is well known. He is usually described as attached to particular families with whom he has been known to reside for centuries, threshing the corn, cleaning the house, and performing similar household tasks. His favourite gratification was milk and honey. George Henderson in 1911 also elaborates on this. But what this is really getting at is that we have this spirit of the house which is tied to the house. If you were to move from that house into another house, that spirit cannot follow you. So then what happens is when you move into the new house, you would then have to make friends with the spirit of that house. However, in some instances, and this is very prevalent in my own situation, is that we particularly have a family familiar, which is very much tied in with things like ancestors and the fae spirits. And this spirit follows us around, or follows me around. I'm not sure if it's... I know it definitely follows me around, because I did come into contact with this spirit while I was married. I'm now divorced, and it's followed me and my daughter. So after I die, I'll probably keep following my daughter around. But it is very much tied to the family rather than the actual building, the house or the home. And, you know, this is where things get a bit tricky. But at the same time, it's really the same thing. It's that spirit that is going to protect your home, all right? And therefore, you know, if you do want to protect your home, this is obviously different to personal protection when you are away from your home. But in regards to actually protecting your home, easiest, simplest, best place to go to is your home, your actual house. So look at the spirit of the home or the spirit of the house and get into contact with it. How that develops is going to be individual. It's going to be personal to your own situation. As I mentioned, in my own situation, this ended up being a spirit which is connected to my family as opposed to my home. So when I move from house to house, that spirit makes things easier for me because it gets into contact with the actual spirit of the home and creates a relationship, which then I am obviously included in. So, yeah, I guess quite personal, but is the best method ever, in my opinion. So, get in contact. So the easiest way to do that, to actually get in contact with the spirit, is to, firstly, keep your house clean. Care for your house. Remember that this spirit is, its body is the house. It is the house. You know, the spirit itself that you connect with, that you communicate with, that you create a relationship with, is the spirit, the energetic entity, which is the house itself, the building. So you want to show that spirit that you care for it, that you will keep it clean, you will repair it when things go wrong, so you will help it, you will heal it and everything else. You keep that doing that, you keep the house clean and everything else, and it gets to know that you're not a threat. Anybody who does move into a house and does have that immediate attacking aspect, you will probably find that the previous tenants, they were not very good to the house. They treated it badly, and therefore the spirit of the house doesn't have a very good starting point with humans. So there's a lot of repairing that needs to be done, not just to the house itself, but to the spirit and the relationship between that spirit and human beings. So keep the place clean, keep it well tended and cared for, and then give offerings. The best place to give offerings is the center of the house. Now, that doesn't need to be the physical center of the house. It's quite often you'll find this may, you may find this over time because it's not obviously not going to happen immediately as you move in, you're not going to know. But what you'll find is that the people within the home kind of move around one point or one place within the home. Quite often it's the kitchen, and quite often it's the family area, the lounge itself. It could be the dining room where everybody goes and eats. You know, everybody comes together in that one spot. But there's always a place that everybody kind of moves around, moves to. If you're, you know, as I said, quite often it is actually the kitchen. If you do have a central fireplace, a hearth, that's actually a good place because that's quite often where people will come together in that home and gather together in order to be a family. And that's quite often the hearth, where the hearthstone actually goes. But, you know, you'll kind of get to know where that center of the house is, the actual central area of it. And then set up a small altar. And it doesn't need to be big. Candle, some incense maybe, and a bowl of water. Start with that. Now, types of food you might want to give can often be related to the actual culture that you live in, the land, the country you live in, and what is culturally a cultural food. For instance, in Slavic cultures, the domovoy, which is the house spirit, is sometimes appeased with gifts like milk, grains, or tobacco. In Japanese culture, it could be the rice wine or salt. So it's quite often something which is traditional to the land you're actually in because the spirit is part of the actual land. So you can start trying to think of offerings that you could give the spirit in that regard. But as you get to know it, as you build a relationship, it's going to let you know what it likes and what it doesn't like. So, you know, but start off with water. Oats is always a good thing, or milk and honey. They're always good options for most spirits anyway. So give those. It may or may not like alcohol, so don't just outright give alcohol. Water's always a good option. So to begin with, I would stick with water and something like oats or milk and honey. All right? Simple, straightforward. In most cases, that's going to be accepted. It's at least going to be accepted to the degree where the spirit knows that you're actually trying to reach out, trying to create a relationship, and you're not being a threat. And then as the relationship builds, you know, things come together. So definitely approach with respect. You know, if this... It's usually a good idea to get some basic knowledge of how to interact with Fae, because there are particular ways you should be doing that. You know, don't make promises, don't say thank you. There's all of these particular things. And although most of the information about the Fae comes from Europe, Scotland, Ireland, areas like that, you probably can find some related texts or works that speak about the particular fairy land entities that are prevalent in your own area, and what kind of offerings they like, how to interact with them. It can be quite different depending on what country you're in. I remember having this conversation with a Zulu friend of mine years ago. You know, when we talk about things like land whites or even the Fae, there's a particular way we go about approaching them. It's with respect, with reverence. You know, there are these big spirits that you don't want to piss off. Whereas in the Zulu culture, they are often considered to be kind of childish and impish. And sometimes they need to be treated with a bit of a strong hand type of thing. So how to interact with them can vary between countries, between cultures, but try and find somebody in the area who knows the plane and you know, you'll get a better idea. That doesn't mean that your house spirit is going to be fey, but it's just a good idea to get that basic knowledge so that during your interactions you have it to begin with, and you can avoid any mistakes. Alright, so anyway, that's really regards to the house spirit. First place I would go to for protective magic in regards to the home. Okay. And that's it for this week. Have a good one, and I'll see you next time. Cheers for now. Bye bye.